This morning we are continuing our study of the Ten Commandments for the 21st century. And we've come to the fourth commandment, which I am entitling, Take a Break. You know, time is relative. And Albert Einstein, the one who first understood the theory of relativity, said, about time, there certainly seems less of it about than there used to be. He understood how time can seem to slip away so quickly. How many times have you heard yourself say something like, I'm too busy. I don't know where all the time goes. This week has simply flown. I don't have a moment to spare. We could go on and on and on with similar sayings, but I don't have the time to do so, if you get what I mean. Because time is so basic and so unchangeable, it is truly the most precious commodity we have. You can make more money. You can acquire more things, but you cannot replace time. Once it is spent, it's gone, and you can never get it back. And there is only a limited amount of time that we have on Earth. Not only are we all limited to 24 hours in a day and 7 days in a week, but at some point, time will be no more. And so we must be very careful how we use our time. And you know, we're pretty good at mastering wealth and mastering energy and mastering potential. But when it comes to time, we're in an utter mess. We're just hopelessly lost, most of us, when it comes to this matter of time. Our modern lifestyles are ruthless. It's a well-known fact proven by statistics and by experience that although we now work harder, we earn more money, we have less time or energy to enjoy the money we've made. As our working hours are increased, so have our stress levels. 60% of successful professionals say they suffer chronic stress or depression, and 48% of the top American corporate executives report that their lives are empty and meaningless. And these are people that most would consider very successful, highly motivated. They've made their way to the top, and they find that their lives are empty and meaningless. Technology promised us that the modern conveniences would make our lives easier. That computers and faxes and mobile phones and email would increase our productivity so we'd have more time to enjoy life. But has that really happened? What it has done is it has raised expectations so that we expect ourselves and others to produce more in the same amount of time. And we find ourselves no better off than we were before. All this ceaseless rushing inevitably has an effect on us physically, emotionally, mentally, even spiritually. If your body could talk, what do you think it would be telling you this morning? I think for a lot of us it would be saying, slow down or take a break. Would you be surprised that God would be telling you the same thing? That's what the fourth commandment is all about. God tells us that every once in a while we need to take a break. So let's turn to Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11, where we read the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Now, unfortunately, the Sabbath has been met with a lot of controversy in our own day and age. Even though this is the longest of the commandments and the one that has the most explanation to it, if you look at it and break it down, you see the Sabbath is established. 6 days you labor and work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord. You see the extent of the Sabbath. It's not just for you. It's for your family. It's for your servants. It's even for your animals. Everything needs a break. And then you see the explanation of it. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. We're actually following God's example when we take a break. And yet there's been a Sabbath controversy for as long as the church has been around. Old Testament scholar Walter Kaiser writes, "The fourth commandment poses more difficulties than the other nine. Yet it was given for the liberation, not the bondage of humanity." And these words, which really echo some words Jesus said, we're going to look at later on, are important to remember throughout this study. God gave the Sabbath not to bind people, but to free them. So whatever else we consider about the Sabbath, keep that in mind. Keep the intention in mind. So what is this controversy of the Sabbath? One writer writes, 9 of the 10 commandments are reiterated in the New Testament, but the fourth commandment is specifically repudiated. Another says, the strict observance of the Sabbath, like circumcision, is no longer binding on Christians. We don't have to mess with the Sabbath because it's not repeated in the New Testament. And yet there are those like 19th century evangelist D.L. Moody who wonders, how can men claim that this one commandment has been done away with while they admit the other 9 are still binding? I wonder the same thing. Now to answer that question, we need to consider the creation of the Sabbath. Where did it come from? Many of those who believe that the Sabbath is out of date and is done away with, believe that it was done away with the Mosaic Law. This is part of the Mosaic Law, and so we don't have to do it anymore. I got a real problem with that thinking anyway. But you're going to find out that this predates the Mosaic Law. What's the very first word of the commandment? Remember. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. What's that tell you? Tells you that it was already there. This isn't some new idea Moses is getting up on Mount Sinai. This is something that was already established. In fact, if you go back in Exodus just a few chapters, chapter 16 talks about the Sabbath being observed before the Ten Commandments were given. You see, the Sabbath is not unique to the law of Moses. In fact, it goes all the way back to the very beginning of time. It goes back to the beginning of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, we read, "By the seventh day, God had finished all the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating he had done." The Sabbath did not begin with Moses, it began with God. And it began with God the very week he created the universe. This is something he established. It's something you could say he built into his creation. It is a cycle of work and rest, work and rest. So this is not something that can simply be discarded with the Mosaic Law. This predates the law. This is something God had established from the very beginning. And by making it an ordinance from creation, it's not just for the Jews or the Israelites. This is for everybody. And you'll even notice when Moses put down this law, it was not only for the Israelites. It says even the alien in your gates is supposed to have a day of rest. Indeed, this is a principle for everyone. Now, the name Sabbath in Hebrew is related to the word Shabbat, which means to rest or to cease. Simply means stop doing what you're doing. And we need to hear that because in our culture in particular, we go and we go and we go and we go and we do and we do and we do. You need to stop. You need to take a break. So in the Old Testament, the Sabbath was a day where you stopped the normal routine of life and you did something different. We're told that on the seventh day, God rested after his creation. Now, this isn't because God was exhausted or tired. God could have continued creating forever. He stopped. In essence, he said, "That's enough." It's not that he could not have done more, he just decided not to. He came to a point where he took a break. And people are summoned to rest, to cease from their labors, so that they might be free from the tyranny of themselves and their work. Because work can become a tyrant. I'm not just talking about your boss. I'm actually talking about work. Work can become tyranny in our lives. And the expectations are just always there, and we're constantly going and going and going, and it wears us down. The Sabbath is primarily a day of rest. Now, what we often neglect in this commandment is the phrase, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. And to a real extent, a person's approach to this idea of rest is going to depend largely on their approach to the idea of work. If work is seen as a curse, then rest is going to see as an inherent blessing, and the two are going to be seen as opposites. There's a problem with this perspective, though. Work is not a curse. Work was not part of the penalty given to Adam and Eve because they sinned. If you go back to Genesis 2, you find that God put Adam and Eve to the garden to work it before sin entered the scene. We were actually made to work. That is part of what we were created to be. Now, work has been affected by the curse of sin, but we were, in essence, created to work. We're not machines. Now, in our day and age, work has become kind of an end in itself. It's a way to escape from family and from the inner life and from the world. We have developed what's called workaholism. We have workaholics. And literally, it is fatal. In Japan, there is a word, and my, you tell me if I butcher the Japanese, karoshi, I believe is how it's pronounced. Karoshi. It literally means death from overwork. It is the second largest killer of working males and accounts for 10% of Japan's death rate. Literally working themselves to death. And you find that. You find that amongst people even in our own culture who are so driven and they just work and work and work and soon they just fall apart. I hear people say, well, I'd rather wear out than rust out. Well, you know what? Either way, you're out. So that's really not a great approach to take. And it's not necessary. God has designed us to work, but also to rest. Now, on the other hand, there are many who refuse to work at all. Not being brought up with any form of work ethic, they do everything they can to avoid work and then expect others to support them. How many of you have seen that commercial on TV? The little boy that's playing video games and doing all this stuff, and he calls grandma on the phone, and you see grandma shuffle by the room. He's in this very same house, and when she finally gets to the phone, he says, "Hey, grandma, how about another grape soda?" You seen that one? That's the way an awful lot of people are in our culture. We'll do everything we can, even if it's put other people out, in order for us not to do work. The Bible says we are made to work. That's part of what we are. That's part of how we were created. In fact, Paul had to say to idle Christians in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, "If a man will not work, he shall not eat." I know that's not a popular policy. I don't think it would go over very well in our culture. But that's what God's Word says. G. Campbell Morgan writes, "The will of God for man is that he should work. It is also that at the seventh day interval he should cease his work. Each is a complement of the other. He who never works is unfitted for worship. He who never pauses to worship is rendered incapable of work." If we go and we go and we go, we'll get to the point where we can't go anymore. If we never start, then we're not living as God has created us. In Deuteronomy 5, verses 12 to 15, it's made explicitly clear the Sabbath was made for those who needed rest after hard work. The RSV says that your manservant and your maidservant may rest as well as you. So work is important. It's just as much a part of the fourth commandment as rest. 6 days you shall work, the seventh day you rest. Both are important. We need to turn aside on a regular basis. Now, I understand there are some whose occupation doesn't allow it to be Sunday. There are some who, for whatever reasons, are not able to take their day off, their day of rest on Sunday. That's okay. Find a different day. Make sure you find something. I'll guarantee you, Sunday is not my day of rest. Sunday is my busiest day of the week. My day of rest is Monday. Good luck finding me on a Monday. And I have found that I need that. I have to have that. I used to think I ought to take Saturday as my day off, but too many things are going on Saturdays. There's too many weddings, there's too many events, there's too many things happening. What I have found is that by the time my Sunday is done, I'm spent. And I have to have that day. So unless it's vitally, vitally important, you're probably not going to get a hold of me on a Monday. I have to protect that day because I need it. I have to have it. And we all need it. And for not everybody, it's going to be the same day, and that's okay. But what I find is true in my own life for a long time and others as well. Ministers, sometimes missionaries, don't think they need a day of rest. They think they, because they're in the Lord's work, they can just go on and go on and go on. And I think it's a mistake. When God gave His commands, He included His workers as well. And He said, "You guys need a break. You need to take that time away." Now, I'm not suggesting that a day of rest has to be all sleeping. Sleep and rest are both important, but they're not necessarily the same thing. We need both. Sometimes a day of rest might involve a lot of work. There are people in the corporate field that spend their times behind a desk and a computer screen that on their day off, they get out in the garden, or they get out in their yard, or they get outside and do something. Man, they're expending more physical energy on their day off than they do the whole week that they're working. But it's a different kind of work. It's a different kind of labor. And it can actually be very relaxing. That's okay. Do something different. Give your mind as well as your body a break by changing things up. Now, this is all good, right? God created us with a rhythm that allows for a break from the everyday grind of living. How can you go wrong with that? Well, unfortunately, we see the corruption of the Sabbath. One author puts it this way: one of the extraordinary abilities of the human race is the ability to totally mess things up. You would have thought that a simple divine ruling about having a day of rest would be hard to damage. However, with perverse ingenuity, generations of people from all sorts of cultures have managed to turn this command from being a liberating gift of God to a wearisome day-long obstacle course. This happened at the time of Jesus to an extraordinary extent. The religious leaders had created a whole list of things that must not be done on the Sabbath. You couldn't prepare a meal, sew a button, light a fire, walk more than 3,000 feet from your home. There were in total 1,521 rules about the Sabbath at the time of Jesus. All of them inventions of the human mind to prevent this commandment from being broken, ensuring that no work took place on the Sabbath. It had become very hard work indeed. The Sabbath had been corrupted. The Pharisees had transformed the Sabbath into something very different than what God had ordained. To the simple command to rest, the Pharisees added a long list of very specific prohibitions. And just in case they overlooked something, they established 39 categories of forbidden activity. You ready for this? Carrying, burning, extinguishing, finishing, writing, erasing, cooking, washing, sewing, tearing, knotting, untying, shaping, plowing, planting, reaping, harvesting, threshing, winnowing, selecting, sifting, grinding, kneading, combing, spinning, dyeing, chain stitching, warping, weaving, unraveling, building, demolishing, trapping, shearing, slaughtering, skinning, tanning, smoothing, and marking. Couldn't do those things on the Sabbath. You understand what was happening at the time Jesus came. How strange that resting should become such a burden. The joyous celebration that God had intended to take a break had become a burden instead of a blessing. The Sabbath had become a day of legalism. Now, what happens with Jesus and the Sabbath is very fascinating. Time and time again, his actions brought him into trouble with the religious leaders over the Sabbath. Jesus felt free to heal, to pick grain, to cast out demons on the Sabbath. I mean, these were all actions that, in the opinion of the religious leaders, broke the rules about what you could do on the Sabbath. And the fact that there's so many controversies about the Sabbath may give you an indication of how important this was to Jesus. He wasn't going to let this go. And at one point, when many criticized about his lax attitude toward their rules, he said the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of the people, not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. He brought it back to what God had originally intended it to be, and that was a blessing, a break, a day of rest and worship. Now, this corruption of the Sabbath day by the Pharisees has filtered into more modern history as well. You've probably all heard of the blue laws, right? Not many of them around anymore, but boy, at one time you couldn't look cross-eyed on a Sabbath day or you might get in trouble with the law. Nothing was open on Sundays. Nothing could be done. You kind of slinked out of your house and moseyed on to church, and then you slunk back home and napped all day. It's all you could do on Sunday. The Puritans did their best to legislate piety, especially through strict Sabbath laws. They punished people for not going to church on Sundays and punished them if they went anywhere else. Before long, the laws of the church became the law of the land. Evidently, they felt the only way to worship God was to make sure no one enjoyed Sunday. And that's what happens when you corrupt God's idea and add all kinds of rules to it. For many children, one author writes, Sundays were about as welcome as a cobra in a cradle. D.L. Moody, I mentioned him earlier, he said, when I was a boy, the Sabbath lasted from sundown on Saturday to sundown on Sunday. And I can remember how we boys used to shout when it was over, because for us, it was the worst day of the week. There's something wrong with that picture. God created the Sabbath. It should be the best day of the week, not the worst. But that's what happens when we corrupt what God creates. The commandment was given to set us free, not to enslave us. That we rest is essential. How we rest is up to us. So, how do we approach the fourth commandment? What about the celebration of the Sabbath? Is it wrong for Christians to do so? Is it wrong not to? Well, you need to understand something basic about the law of Moses. The law of Moses was actually given by God to Moses, so it's God's law, not Moses' law. We need to see that first. But you need to see that there are some distinctions within the law. Basically, there are three. There's what's called the civil law, the ceremonial law, and the moral law. The civil law was the law of the land within the borders of Israel. This is how you had to live if you lived in this land. It was how the people were to live and how those laws were to be enforced. The ceremonial law dealt with the worship of God. This had to do with the tabernacle, the work of the priests, the sacrifices. This is the ceremonial law. The moral law is based on God's own character. It's universal. It applies to all people, all ages, all classes. So where does the Sabbath fall? It's actually mixed. It's kind of all the above. It's moral in that it requires a portion of time set aside for rest and worship. It's ceremonial as that is fixed on the seventh day, and it is civil in that breaking the Sabbath in Israel was a capital offense. Now, what of the law do we apply today? Well, the civil law, we don't live in Israel. And so the civil statutes, while we can learn principles from them, we are not bound to the civil statutes. The ceremonial laws have been fulfilled in Christ. We no longer bring sacrifices. We no longer have priests represent us before God. But the moral law remains. And there is a moral component to the Sabbath that I believe still applies today. We still need that rest. Now, it may not be the seventh day, and it may not be the first day. It may be a different day. For some folks, it's not even the same day every week. That's okay. It's the spirit of the commandment that is important. You're not a machine. Take a break. Take time out from your busy work schedule to worship and to rest, to enjoy your family, to enjoy what God has given you. That doesn't change. Dr. Nelson Bell, who is the father-in-law of Billy Graham, writes, the Ten Commandments have never been abrogated. It is still wrong to kill, to steal, to commit adultery, to deny the validity of one day and seven as a day of rest and spiritual refreshment is to miss one of God's greatest gifts to mankind. And I think to take one of the commandments out of the ten and say, well, that doesn't apply anymore, it breaks apart the Ten Commandments. I don't believe it should be done. There is a principle here. In a phrase I would say for Christians, the Sabbath rules are dead, but the Sabbath principles remain. And that's the way it was for Jesus. Jesus did observe the Sabbath. He would go to the synagogue, but he was free from the rules, all of the added things to it. He served the spirit of the law, not the letter. So how do we follow the fourth commandment in the 21st century? Well, time does not permit me to get into how the Sabbath kind of moved from the seventh day to the first day under Christianity and all that. Just understand that Christians began celebrating the resurrection of their Savior on the first day of the week because that's the day it happened on. That's why we worship on Sundays. But again, it's not the day of the week that is so crucial. We need to have a day of rest. And not everybody can do that on Sunday. That's okay. We need to inject within our lives a break from our work, a break from the routine. You need a day of rest, and you do need a time to worship. It is my strong belief, based on the Bible, but also in my own experience, that for the sake of our health, our sanity, our families, our relationships, our families, even our society, we all need to have a Sabbath. At the most basic level, a day off every week is good for us, physically and mentally. We can rest our eyes that are strained by computer screens. We can ease backs that are stressed by office chairs. We can give a break to the metabolisms that keep going on caffeine. A day off may help to re-energize us so that we are more efficient on the days we work. It actually enhances our work rather than detracting from it. Because we are frail, physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, the good Lord created a special day for our benefit. The Sabbath was created because we need it, and that hasn't changed. When we refuse to cooperate with God's laws for our body's proper maintenance, we run the risk of malfunction. You know, our modern lifestyle of hustle and bustle places us in the grip of what one psychologist calls universal fatigue. We constantly complain about how tired we feel. Often the first reaction we have in the morning is to look at the clock in disbelief and say, "It can't be morning already, I'm still tired." How many of you ever felt that? In the middle of such overwhelming pressures, it's so important to evaluate our priorities so we can better order our lives. Because if we don't live by priorities, we'll end up living by pressures. We'll be pushed and shoved into maybe places we don't even want to go, but that's where we're being pressured. We need that time to stop, to evaluate, maybe to reprioritize our lives. God's claim on our Sabbath reminds us that all the time we have is His gift. And it should be used as He tells us. There's a classic hymn in the hymnal, "Take My Life and Let It Be." And one of those verses says, "Take my moments and my days." I think it's easy sometimes to just sing those words but not really think about what we're saying. Will we give God our schedules? Will we give God our calendars? Will we tell Him, "Yes, I will take time out to worship You. I will take time out to rest." This is what true obedience to the fourth commandment is all about. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Father, we confess that we haven't always obeyed Your word, especially when it comes to this fourth commandment. It's easy, even in Your work, to allow ourselves to get so run down because we don't take that break. We don't take the time You have designated to rest, to worship You. I pray You would help us to see the importance of taking that regular break. Help us to be creative so that the time we take off would be truly refreshing and energizing. Help it to make us more efficient and effective on the days we do work. And in all things, may it bring honor and glory to you through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.